Thank you for calling the Dial a Story Hotline. This is The Knowers by Helen Phillips. April 17th. I'd lived that date 31 times already before I learned about April 17th, 2043. Isn't it macabre to know that we've lived the date of our death many times, passing by it each year as the calendar turns? And doesn't it perhaps deflate the horror just a bit by taking the mystery out of it? To actually know, to not have every date bear the heavy possibility of someday being the date of one's death? I do not know the answer to this question. April 17th, 2043. The knowledge heightened my life. The knowledge burdened my life. I regretted knowing. I was grateful to know. I've never been the type to bungee jump or skydive. Yet in many small ways, I've lived more courageous than most. More courageously than Tim, for instance. I knew when to fear death, yes, but that also meant I knew when not to fear it. I've gone to the grocery store during times of quarantine. I'd volunteer at the hospital. Driven blizzards, ridden roller coasters so rickety, Tim would not let our children on them. But I have to admit that December 31st, 2042 was a fearful day for me. Are you okay? Tim said after the kids had gone home. We hosted everyone for our last supper of the year, both children and their spouses, and our son 6 months old, our first grandchild, bright as a brand new penny. At the dinner table, our radiant daughter and her bashful husband announced that they were expecting in August. Amid the raucous cheers and exclamations, no one noticed that I wasn't cheering or exclaiming. The child I'd missed by 4 months. The ache was vast, vast. I couldn't speak. I watched them, their hugs and high fives, as though from behind a glass wall. Oh my God, Ellie, Tim said painfully, sinking onto the couch in the dark living room. Oh God. No, I lied, joining him on the couch. Not this year. Tim embraced me so warmly, with such a relief, that I felt cruel. I couldn't bear myself. I stood up, and unsteady with dread, limped towards the bathroom. Ellie, he said, you're limping. My foot fell asleep. I lied again, yanking the door shut behind me. I stood there, in the bathroom, hunched over the sink, clinging to the sink, staring at my face in the mirror, until it no longer felt like my face. This would develop into tasteful and disorienting, but addictive habits over the course of the next 3.5 months. Aside from the increasing frequency with which I found myself falling into myself in the bathroom mirror, I got pretty good at hiding my dread from Tim, and even at times from myself. We planted bulbs, bought a cooler for summer picnics. I pretended and pretended. It felt nice to pretend. Yet, when Tim asked, on April 10th, what I'd planned for this year's getaway, the veil fell away. Given the circumstance, I had, of course, neglected to make any plans for the 17th. The dread rushed outward from my gut until my entire body was hot and cold. Panicking, I looked across the table at Tim, who was gazing at me openly, hopefully, boyish, the way he looked at me for almost 4 decades. Tim and I were so lucky in love. Tim, I choked. Are you okay? He said. And then he realized. Damn it, Ellie, he yelled. Why'd you have to? I still don't know. Just as I hadn't known way back then. I quietly quit my job, handed in the paperwork, and Tim took the week off, and we spent every minute together, inviting the blissfully ignorant kids out to brunch. I clutched the baby, forced her to stay in my lap even as she tried to wiggle and whine her way out, until even I had to hand her over to her mother, a chunk of my heart squirming away from me. Everything I saw, every gas station, every tree, a flagpole, I thought how it would go on existing just the same. Tim and I had more sex than we'd have in our previous 12 months combined. Briefly, I hung suspended and immortal in orgasm, and a few times lying sun stroked in bed in the late afternoon felt infinite. What can I say? What did we do? We held hands under the covers. We made fettuccine Alfredo and, cleaning the kitchen, listened to our favorite radio show. I dried the dishes with a green dishcloth, warm and damp. On the morning of April 17, 2043, I was half amazed to open my eyes to the light. 6 hours and 4 minutes into the day, I was alive. Petrified, scared to move even a muscle. I wondered how death would come for me. I suppose I'd been hoping it would come mercifully, in the soft sleep of the early morning. I turned to Tim, who wasn't in bed beside me. "Tim!" I screamed. He was in the doorway before I reached the M, his face stricken. "Tim," I said plainly, joyously. He looked so good to me, standing there holding 2 coffee mugs, his ancient baby blue robe. "I thought you were dying," he exclaimed. "I thought you were dying." It sounded like a figure of speech, but he meant it so literally, so very literally, that it gave me a short, sharp laugh.